Hello, welcome and kumusta. Thank you for joining me. This is now your occupational therapist. And welcome to OT Conversations. In this episode, I'd like us to have a discussion about some of the respiratory conditions that you will encounter when you work as an occupational therapist. And I understand that this can be very daunting because there are so many conditions that you would come across. There are so many names. But I'm going to share you some technique that I came up with. It's not really a technique. Came up with an understanding of what's really going on. And I'd like to share this with you. So most recently, I shared this to a group of OT apprentices in one of the universities in England. So what's that word? Call out, shout out to you guys, right? So for the purpose of anonymity, I'm not going to name the university. And just for you guys who came across with this method, when you're talking about some respiratory conditions, my suggestion would be to not worry about those conditions just yet. The very first foundation that you need to understand is breathing, okay? And rather than the breathing, you need to understand the journey of oxygen. When it comes to respiratory conditions, it's all about oxygen. So this is the theme of our conversation today. I'll tell you the journey of occupational therapy. I'll tell you the journey of O2 or the oxygen, okay? So as you are aware, oxygen, it's there. You hear it every time. You know that it is around, but we seldom and we take this for granted. But this is one of the main characters in a lot of medical conditions that will have an impact on occupational therapy. So oxygen, what do we know of it? Very basic. Just know that there's about 21% of the air is oxygen. It's beautiful, isn't it? That knowing that 21% is enough for us to do what we need to do. So know that the oxygen is out there floating around the atmosphere. And what will happen to this oxygen is that it will eventually find its way towards our body. But to get into the body, there is a gatekeeper. The only way it will go into the body is through the nose. And then thousands of these little molecules of oxygen will then go through the nose and it will be funneled down the windpipe. Okay. Round the nose, it's actually going to be humidified. There are some hair follicles in the nose. So there are some nostrils in the nostrils. There are some hairs in there that really filters things out and it humidifies. It's just enough so that it's just the right temperature. So as soon as it goes through the nose, it'll be cleaned and then it will go through the windpipe. Now, as the oxygen then travels through the windpipe, then it will go down and then it will go down the path a little bit lower. And or either to the left or to the right, it's called the bronchus because there's two of them. It's bronchi, okay? And it will split the roots of the tree. So this oxygen will either take the left side of the lungs or the right side. It'll take one root, okay? Each then would be going into a smaller pipe. So it's following a path. It's following a tunnel from the nose, the windpipe, and then to the bronchus. And then this bronchus just breaks down a little bit more. It breaks down. It's just like a forest of little branches all the way to the end until it reaches the very end part of it. And this is the terminal. This is the end part where it can go and it can't go any further. And these are very delicate, tiny sacks of air. It's just like a small balloon at the end of the journey. Okay, at the end of the journey of the lungs. And this is alveolus. It's like a little balloon where there's not a lot of oxygen in it. Okay, it's not a lot of space in it, but it's there. So all of these oxygen's been going to all these little sacks of air. Alveolus is what you call it. There's a one sack, but a plural of it, it's called alveoli. So these sacks are warm inside and it's just nice. It's the right temperature and right balance for the oxygen. Okay, so these are like tiny houses. So inside these tiny houses, the oxygen then will be greeted by the red blood cell. How does it do that? In the lining of these sacs are tiny capillaries, like little blood vessels, where only one very small blood cell can pass through. So this oxygen then can go through and can take a ride on this very tiny blood vessel. And they're shaped like a disc. So it's just like a chariot. It's like a flying saucer. Okay. So what it will do is it'll take a ride. It'll attach itself to this red blood cell. Okay. And then that's it. Every oxygen will just go into it as much as you can. So oxygen will go into these red blood cells. And then because they're in the bloodstream, after this, the red blood cell is just like a chariot, like I said. It will then be whisked away. It'll go back to the pulmonary vein expressway. Let's call it the pulmonary vein expressway. And this is a vein. This is a vein now where the blood is taken back into the central hub, which would have been the heart. Because there's so many of it now, there's so much that it will fill a chamber of the heart. So now all of these blood vessels or blood that will go in, it's now, the oxygen is now with these red blood cells. Okay, and it's now in the one chamber of the heart. It's the left atrium. And then, yeah, once it's filled, it'll go down to the left ventricle. And from there, once the heart pumps, it just goes back up again all the way. One's going towards the head to the brain, and then the other one is going around towards the body, and then it will just be disseminated. So the oxygen is now taking a ride onto these little red blood cells, and it's going to be disseminated in every organ, in every organ that needs oxygen. So what happens is, once they're there at the terminal side of it, and the terminal part is every little cell in the body. This is the end journey of these red blood cells. Why is this oxygen? What's it going to do then to these oxygen? So remember, cells are alive and it's moving. It's working. And it's just like a factory. Every time the cell is working, what it will do is there's always a byproduct into it. And one of the byproducts of the cell respiration is carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide then will accumulate inside the cells. And at a certain degree, it is okay, but it is not okay for carbon dioxide to linger in the cells because that will make the system so much acidic. And when there is acidity in the cell, will die. It will injure its parts. And then a group of cells, then it will injure the organ. It will injure a tissue, then a bigger part of it, it will injure the organ. So these little cells, so there's carbon dioxide that's there. But what's going to happen is that once the blood goes near the cells, okay, and then there is going to be an exchange of oxygen. So the oxygen will have then to go from the blood into the cells, and that will replenish the energy that the cell needs. And the carbon dioxide that is inside the cell will now then go to the red blood cell to be taken back all the way to the lungs again, so that there's going to be an exchange of molecules between carbon dioxide and oxygen in the lungs. Okay? So that's how important that is. So now that the oxygen is inside the cell, then the cell can carry on doing what it does because the oxygen is a fuel. It's a source of energy. Okay? So that's the journey. So really we're looking and we have looked at some of the journey of the air or oxygen from outside all the way to the nose, to the bronchus, and then it finds its way to bronchi and bronchioles, which is a smaller version, all the way to the very end where it ends up in the sac-like formation called alveolus, where it will go into the blood that's passing around the alveolus, and then will be disseminated back to the body. Once it's all disseminated in the body, it will then go to the individual cells, and where these oxygen is going to be delivered to the cells, because these cells are, the oxygen is a source of energy. So what do you know about the oxygen? It is a very essential for cellular respiration, for breathing. And it's not just respiration. Imagine that there is no lungs, and yet it's respiration, isn't it? Respiration is the gas exchange, isn't it? So that's the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide. You think respiration is just about the breathing? No. Respiration is actually that very crucial element of the exchange of the oxygen and the carbon dioxide. Okay, so that's what we know. All oxygen is very essential for cells to breathe. And then the other thing is, you know that it can be transported by the blood, hemoglobin. And what happens is, if there is not a lot of air, if the body senses that there is not a lot of air in the system, there will be some kind of a trigger mechanism. And then the body will then get a person's heart rate and breathing rate to get higher, and it will increase so that we get more oxygen. Okay? So a condition that doesn't have air, it's called hypoxia. Hypo being lack of, oxia is oxygen. So hypoxia is just a Latin that says there is lack of oxygen. Okay? And then if you look that there's no oxygen in the blood, it's hypoxemia as well. Okay? So there you go. Those are some of the basic things in the basic journey of oxygen. Now, that is a prelude to the topic that I started with to begin with, and that was the topic of respiratory conditions. So just remember, any problem within that pathway, from when the air comes into the body and from that gas exchange and to the delivery, that would be, particularly where the problem is coming in the lungs, for example, that would be some of the respiratory conditions. And you have any respiratory conditions, you can either have the structural problem or gas exchange problem. Okay, so let's talk about some of the respiratory conditions. Asthma, for example. Asthma, what is this? It involves the constriction and the inflammation of the airways. So you see, the pathway from the airway, when it's blocked, it just meant that the air can't go into the lungs. It can't get through the alveoli and alveolus, and then there can't be any gas exchange. So asthma can be a problem. Okay, what about chronic obstructive pulmonary disease? Chronic, long time, there's obstructive pulmonary lung disease. So it's just that, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which may include emphysema. And when there's emphysema, there is a damage in the air sacs. So the air sacs is no longer flexible. So that may be difficult to do, or there may not be any blood vessels that is surrounding those sacs. So even if the air goes into those sacs, there's no blood vessel, and therefore the oxygen that goes into the sacs is pointless. There's not going to be an exchange of gas. So that's a problem. Or you have a chronic bronchitis. Chronic meaning long-term, bronchitis, bronchus, which is the bronchus. Itis is inflammation. When there is an inflammation of the bronchus, then again the air will have difficulty passing through. What about pneumonia? Pneumonia is an infection. Yeah, and what it does is that it inflames, and it inflames the body. And when there is inflammation, the air sacs will be filled with fluid. So this is what's amazing with the body. Every time there is something wrong, fluid will build up because it wants to trap in whatever it is that's causing the infection. It's a wonderful mechanism. Pneumonia is one that affects the gas exchange, because the air sacs are filled with water, okay? And when there's filled with fluid, then there's not going to be a gas exchange. It's just like drowning, really, okay? What about tuberculosis? Tuberculosis is an infectious disease. Yes, it's caused by bacteria. And what it does is it damages the tissue of the lungs. The same with COVID-19. It damages the tissue. And once the tissue is damaged, so there's not going to be gas exchange between oxygen and carbon dioxide. What about lung cancer? It's pretty much the same. Depends on where the cancer is, whether it's on the air passages or on the tissue itself. Okay. So lung cancer is, there's a problem with lung tissue, and it's then invaded by different cells that will stop the air from getting into the body. Okay, so the bigger the lung cancer is, the bigger the problem is, because the lungs, you need more space in the lungs. You need more alveolus, functioning air sacs, and lung cancer can impede with that. What about cystic fibrosis? So what does it do? It causes thick and sticky mucus, and these mucus can clog the airways and it can damage the lung tissue. Again, it's the same mechanism as that of pneumonia, but with a different source of problem. But it's pretty much like drowning, okay? What about interstitial lung disease? So this is, there is a scarring in the lung tissue. And again, there is going to be a damage in the air sacs. So the air can't go in. The oxygen can't go in. Pleural effusion, there is an accumulation of fluid in the pleural cavity surrounding the lungs. Again, when there's water around the cavity in the lungs, then the lung can't expand and it can't relax and expand itself. And therefore, there's not going to be a quick gas exchange. Sarcoidosis, again, it's another inflammatory disease and it's leading to granulomas in the lungs and other organs. Okay. Sleep apnea, you stop breathing. Sleep is sleep. A is without. Nia. You stop breathing when you're sleeping. Okay. And this involves periods of a person stopping breathing. There's a blockage. The air doesn't go in because you stop breathing. So that's a problem. What about occupational lung diseases? These happens when during your job or a person's job, there are some occupational hazards. So when you're working with asbestos, for example, or silicon, for example. So a lot of air contaminants that can damage the lungs. So very micro molecules that can get into the lungs and it can damage it long term. Again, it's all substances. Bronchiectasis is the permanent enlargement and damage of the airway as well. So again, that will have those problems. Now, so those are mostly structural problems, but there can be some vascular problems of the lungs as well, which is caused by the blood vessels or the arteries, yeah, vascular. So what's the situation? What are some of the problems here? For example, pulmonary edema, okay? With pulmonary edema, the fluid is collecting in the air sacs because there's swelling, again, because of the heart problem. Once there is not the heart is pumping very slow, so there will be an accumulation, there will be a pooling of water, and that will cause edema, okay? And when there is fluid pressure again or lots of fluids, then that will affect the pressure and it will affect the lungs. Once there's a problem in the heart, it will affect the lungs. If there's a problem with the lungs, it will affect the heart. They're very much tied in together. Heart and lungs are two organs that are so linked together, because the heart is actually just the one that's the pumping mechanism that will pump the blood, while the lungs is the one where the gas exchange is happening, okay? And for that to be delivered around the body, the heart needs to keep on working. Pulmonary embolism, there is a blockage in the artery, okay? So the artery then, or the blood, can't go through the air sacs because there is a blockage, embolism, yeah? And you can have acute respiratory distress syndrome. So it's a syndrome. So there's a lot of things going on at the same time, but it's acute. This one is, it involves fluid buildup in the alveoli because of either. So there would be a problem with permeability, and then there's a problem with the gas exchange as well. Pulmonary hypertension, when there is an increased blood pressure in the pulmonary arteries, it can cause problems. Either it will enlarge the lungs, or because there is so much tension, maybe the blood can't be delivered to the lungs. Okay, there you go. So those are some of the conditions. So from an occupational therapist's perspective, at the end of the day, the question is, you have problems. Then the next question is, so what? What are the functional implications of these things? And when you have problems with breathing, you can have fatigue, tiredness, isn't it? You can have consistent cough. Imagine that affecting your day-to-day activities. You can have brain fog because blood's not coming onto your head regularly and as fast as it does. You get drowsy, you get sleepy. That will have an effect on your drowsiness. Yeah. If you're doing stuff, whenever you're moving, you're consuming energy. You're using energy. Where's energy coming from? The first source of energy is air. If you have problems, ADLs would be affected. How are you going to cook? When you're showering for a long period of time with hot water, that's more tiring. So that will have an effect on your day-to-day task. What about when you're putting on your clothes? Put on your socks standing up is much more difficult when you are putting your socks sitting down. The faster you move, the faster you would consume your energy. It's just like a car. The more you step into the pedal to make your car go fast, the more you are consuming petrol. All right? Okay, so these are the functional implications of that. Fatigue, tiredness, low endurance. So in terms of treatment, even if you do biomechanical approach of strengthening and increasing the endurance, it may be a problem if the lung condition has not been resolved, which meant that your intervention will have to be a modified intervention. You'll be using adaptive aids, methods on how to simplify tasks. You have to educate the person so that they will know how to use up their energy much better and much more appropriately. So some of the exercises with the lung problem, most of the time, this is addressed by medical intervention, right? Either through tablets, you minimize the fluid, remove the fluid out of the body, use some medications, you use antibiotics to kill whatever it is that's causing the infection. And then the person themselves will have to work on clearing up these buildup of secretions and fluid in the system, either in the airway or in the lungs. And how do they do that? Huff, cough, yeah? But if the person is tired already and they're left with lack of energy already, it's very difficult to do that. So they may need some other forms of therapy, which can be respiratory therapy or physiotherapy. But at the end of the day, it is what they would be doing would be to assist in the clearance of the airway so that there will be a ventilation that would take place. Okay, you're just facilitating the body to heal itself. One technique that you can teach your patients would be this thing called square breathing exercise. And what is it? It's known as the box breathing. This is very simple. It's an effective technique on how a person can manage their stress, because when you're breathless and when you're anxious, your breathing is affected. So it's one way of managing stress, and it can help your concentration as well. So there are only four equal parts to this. Inhale, hold, exhale, hold. There you go. Inhale, hold, exhale, hold. When I say square breathing or box breathing, it meant that you're going to teach the patient to inhale in, say, 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, exhale for 4 seconds, and let go for 4 seconds. Okay. So you teach the person to do this. Inhale, hold, exhale, hold. Okay. So that's what you would be doing. You teach a person to do this. It's one of the very simple techniques. And the person can do this, right? And what does this do? It's actually allowing, okay, more gas exchange in the lungs. So when you inhale, you're taking as much oxygen as you can. Hold, you are just allowing time for the carbon dioxide and oxygen to exchange within the blood in the lungs. Exhale, meaning you are getting rid of any remaining carbon dioxide in the body and hold. Okay, and that's it. All right, guys, there you go. I hope I have made this a little bit more simple for you so that when you encounter cases, respiratory cases, you would not panic. At the end of the day, it's all about the terms, but at the end of the day, it's all about the oxygen getting into the body. And regardless of what the medical intervention is, whether it's antibiotics or any other forms, as an occupational therapist, you will have to look at the person's ability to do their day-to-day tasks. Okay, I hope you learned a little something today. If you do, and if you did, talk to your friends about it. Have this discussion amongst yourself. Learn together and grow together. Okay. And if you like, you can subscribe. You can share online. Do what you can to appease the algorithm. Share the information. Just remember, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.